Well, thanks everybody for joining this week's episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. With I'm Joe Martin, one of your co-hosts. Dave Donaldson couldn't be on today. I think he's doing some type of recouping or seance to hopefully to God that his Philadelphia Eagles somehow beat the Commanders in this coming week thing. So we pray for him and his recovery or whatever he's doing as a Philadelphia Eagles fan. What I'm really excited about today at Entrepreneurial Impact is that I've got a great friend of mine, colleague, Cassidy Burns, just had an amazing journey. And I'm going to let him tell that because I would just butcher it if I tried to do it myself, but going from some small means to where he's at with a full service real estate advisory services around sales, leases, management, development, construction. I'm going to let him do that story, but I think the one thing I love about Cassidy is that I'm always learning from him from a competitive nature. Funny enough, we also played in the same Division III football conference in the ODAC. But I think it's just always cool to have people in your circle that you can joke around with, be competitive with, but also learn from. And I've learned amazing things from Cassidy. So I'm excited to have him on this week's episode on Entrepreneurial Impact around this, mainly his journey in real estate and multifamily. So Cassidy, what's your story, man?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I too, like David, I am an Eagles fan as well. So we will see what happens with those freshly ripe Washington Commanders. Seems like their fandom has turned into Cowboy fandom over the last few weeks of sense of false confidence. But and also, like you said, Bridgewater Eagles, right? Once an Eagle, always an Eagle. Back in the day. But so BPG is a vertically integrated real estate investment firm. Like Joe said, we have brokerage, which is where I got my start and started. I started in residential real estate sales brokerage. I joined a team with Compass Real Estate in 2016 is when I got licensed in DC and Virginia. Following the licensures, I bought my first condo in DC, started buying single family houses all throughout 2017, 2018, 2019, was doing management ourselves in-house. So I started a third party property management company in 2019, where we started bringing on other customers that were our clients as well from the brokerage side, still buying throughout that timeline. And then in 2022, I actually purchased a construction company to be the third and final leg of our vertical integration. So we have brokerage, property management, and construction, which now we utilize to help generate better returns for our investors in, like Joe said, the multifamily space. So that's where we are now. We're raising capital, buying larger multifamily deals, still doing brokerage and property management, but it's been a long journey since 2016.
Let me ask you this question. Why real estate? Like, why did you transition? I know you went from, being in,
personal training,
fitness to then real estate. And then, from real estate sales got, elevated into diversification of management and those other verticals around development and that. So like, I guess what first question was like, why real estate? Why are you passionate about it? Why that, why that industry for you?
So I kind of fell into it. Like you said, I was my first job out of college, out of Bridgewater College, was a personal trainer at Equinox in Bethesda, Maryland. And I was just servicing clients in a different way, right? I was building rapport with building relationships with higher net worth individuals were typically my clientele, at Equinox in Bethesda. And then one of my clients actually hired me to come onto his real estate team. So I was exploring a change of career. I got a job at Merrill Lynch as a wealth manager. I was getting ready to take my Series 7 and Series 63. And then I also took my real estate license at the same time. And I was trying to decide which option I wanted to go into. I know you and I had pretty similar paths with that. And I decided to go real estate mostly because I trusted the individual, Trent Heminger, who offered me the opportunity. Merrill Lynch would have been just a shot in the dark. I just want to change. And I was able to do both. So I could still train on the side, keep my income that was consistent, which also helped me continue to get loans for my real estate properties until I was able to self-sustain from an income perspective with the real estate sale. So at first it wasn't a passion. It was just luck of the draw, got into it. Now it's an obsession. right? Because I truly believe that real estate is the best vehicle to help people build long-term wealth. We're doing it ourselves and we're helping our clients do it as well.
So I was going to go with another question, but since you brought it up and used the word obsession, I would be stupid not to dive into that one. So what was the experience or what was the coming to Jesus moment of like now something I was doing to just make ends meet to now just be an obsession using your words? What was the trigger point that like did that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to sports. I've always been an obsessive personality where if I believe in something, I'm all in, right? Like during college, all I cared about was being the best possible football player that I could possibly be. And I've transferred that obsession to real estate of being the best now business owner. At first, it started as being the best real estate agent, being the knowledge broker for everything real estate. But now I'm obsessed with building this thing that is BPG to hit its true capacity and its true potential. So I want to build a company where people want to work, and also a company where people trust to facilitate their investment dollars with us. So that is a big obsession of mine right now.
All right, so let's do this one. I got two questions. I think there's a lot of things that people could learn from like your journey of like, you know, people getting the development of just, you know, from ground up to acquiring properties. You always hear like doors and all this kind of stuff. And I think it kind of freaks people out at times. You're like, oh, I don't even know what that means. How the heck do I get these creative funding? Like, I don't have the money for it. Or who do I learn from? And where's the book on that? Like, there's always like things that people pop into. So what was your journey from, or what was your experience of how you learned from like, okay, I bought my first like multifamily. Like what was that property? How was that process? How did you go about, what'd you learn in that
piece? Yeah.
I think it'll help a lot of people.
I learn by doing, by experience. So taking action, I think doers are but there's dreamers and there's doers, and doers are the ones that really, really are going to hit their true potential and success. So my first acquisition was a duplex in my hometown. I think I bought it for $30,000 at the time. I was just looking for the cheapest possible property. And I did that same strategy. The Burr strategy. I bought it, I rehabbed it, I refinanced, I rented it, I refinanced, and then I repeated. I did that 13 times with the single family, small multifamily space. So I learned a lot of lessons during that. I understood how to manage tenants. I understood how to manage contractors and construction, how to bid contractors and construction. And then it just so happened that an appraiser that had been appraising all 13 of these properties after I refinanced them was like, oh, this guy is active. I'm appraising one of his a month at minimum.
Yeah.
He brought me a 32 unit multifamily building off market and said, would you be interested in this? And I didn't really understand that sector, but I was like, oh, it's probably the same process. And I was able to do that. Again, this was all without taking on outside capital by myself, just reusing my dollars that I was earning from Equinox and from my sales. So I bought that 32 unit, and that was the first time that I raised $120,000 from an equity piece to buy that property. But that was my first time into it. So
I also heard you say something that like I think is like a Yeti or something that can never get achieved. The fact that you said you can manage contractors is amazing to me. How did you? I'm just joking around. Like, I don't know how you've been able to really figure out how to manage those people.
I misspoke on that. I attempted to manage contractors. Right. We own a construction company with 50 subs now at any given time, and we still can't manage contractors. We attempt to. They are a very unique breed of human being. But you learn, you gain the experience in the tough skin to be able to deal with the contractors, right? And then if you fire them, you know, hire slow, fire quick, right? Is kind of how you need to do with those guys. And realize that you probably got 2 to 3 projects out of each one of them until they're going to fall off the wagon, and then they're going to be gone. Right. So
you got it right. Yeah.
Relationships with those guys.
Yeah, it's a consistent whirlwind of new people in that recruiting scheme of subcontractors. So I wanted to start with the small stuff so that like people could hear that, and I'll ask some questions towards the end around like advice you have for people. But you went from, I heard that you've got a vertically integrated business and you have a vision for what that is. So for those listening, like, what's your strategy? What's that vision when you get to the apex of, you know, Burns Property Group Holdings? Like, what is that, and how would you go? What's the strategy behind it?
Yeah, so now we're actively raising funds, right? So we have two funds, a $25 million multifamily fund and a $10 million commercial opportunity fund that we're actively raising capital for. That's where investors give us money and we deploy the money on their behalf. They're trusting that we have the experience on the back end of real estate in that asset class to generate them a return, right? It's just like it's SEC regulated 506B Reg D fund are the funds that we're running. But to get there, I had to gain the experience through doing the small stuff. Now, the advice that I would give somebody that's starting now is a little different than it was when I was there. I was buying the cheapest property just because that's all I could afford. I do not believe that that's the best strategy now. I think that the basis for cheap is still expensive depending on the market. So I think you need to buy the best possible property that you can afford and execute your business plan on right now. Don't just go after something because it's cheap. I got lucky because it was perfect timing of the market. You know, 2017 to 2020, you could throw a rock and make money on these rental properties, right? Interest rates were low. The cost of construction was low. The acquisition prices were low. So I got lucky. All three of those were timing. Now, interest rates are high. The cost of construction is high. Prices are high. So you have to really, really buy good value in the current market. So I would not recommend doing that strategy to get started.
Yeah, I think, like, if you're listening to Cassie, if you went back to a couple of things he said a couple of minutes ago, was like he got in it. So while his advice is like the economics and market has changed, the one thing that I wouldn't take as like, I would take it with a grain of salt, is don't be scared because markets have changed, because there's still deals out there. But think about this, like, you might have less competition now because most people are like, oh, it's hard and I don't want to go do that. And everyone's telling me it sucks. But if you get the local market, like you just said, like, one of the things a key piece for anybody listening is like, a relationship that he had in his town is what sent him a 32 unit deal. It wasn't some syndication or some on market or some like commercial listing thing. It was that because he had done stuff and was on the ground doing it and attempting, failing, learning, moving it forward, an opportunity comes up. And I think that's the biggest key for all the like trends that you have that people need to learn, is just like, you can study all you want and conceptually print out shit, but like, if you don't actually get your feet in the water and actually go find stuff, you're never actually going to learn, nor will you actually make progress on like acquiring real estate.
Yeah. And you just have to use leverage. And a lot of times you're leveraging other people's expertise to help you get started, right? Whether that's a broker in the area that understands the market, a property manager that understands where the rents are, a contractor that can tell you exactly what the cost of that construction is. Give you an example. One of my really good friends from elementary school just sent me a text message today. And in 2019, I mean, I have been hounding these guys to buy your first house, just buy a primary residence. It's the only way you're going to truly, truly get started in this journey. It's really, really hard to get wealthy investing 10% of your paycheck into the stock market. It just doesn't have the appreciation potential and the leverage potential that real estate does. So he bought a house in 2019. He took my advice in Johnson or Knoxville, Tennessee, which that market has seen huge appreciation. And he watches our social media and he's been trying to learn. And he texted me today and said, I'm not in a rush, but I'm looking at some costly home repair and some rehabs to my house. Is the HELOC an option? And the answer to that is 100% yes, because he has appreciation. So now he's going to be able to tap into that asset and the equity that he has in that asset to do the rehab, to update his bathroom, to update his kitchen. And he would never have had that opportunity if he didn't buy in 2019. So if you don't own a piece of property right now, you have to just get into something. Don't overlever yourself, but get into something that makes sense for you.
Let me ask you this, like, I'm going to bring you out 10 years. 20 years. Yep. I know, let's go 20 years. What does your vision of your real estate enterprise look like? because you're doing vertical integration, all kinds of different. You own the construction company, which I think is genius because of the margins on it. But like, what is your overall vision, aspiration that the thing, you know, evolves into?
Yep. So everything that I've done has been leading to BPG Holdings. So residential property management, AVEC Construction, which is our construction company, all feeds into BPG Holdings, which is what we are working towards, and which will be the company that we are working in 20 years. We'll still own brokerage. We're still going to sell brokerage. We're still going to have, as the holdings company grows, property management naturally grows, and we are our best own client for AVEC Construction, right? So the more development deals and projects that I buy, the more revenue AVEC Construction is going to generate. But our goal in 15 years is to have 500 million AUM, assets under management, for BPG Holdings. And that's the valuation of the property that we'll own, which means that we're going to have to raise around 125 million over the next 15 years and deploy into real estate levered at a 65% LTV. Obviously, we're going to be adding value through value add strategies, but half a billion is our target for that. Really, it's 10 years. We could get there quicker depending on the appreciation in the market that we see and as the cost of debt. But our company is going to be the facilitator of money, right? So we will be the facilitator of money utilizing real estate and potentially some private equity stuff as our asset classes.
So you go from finding deals, selling, hire some team members. Now they're selling, you get into acquiring and then kind of like capital raising and then like, you know, management of like the value adds. So you get to 500 million. What's your role? What are you doing then? Like, what is that? What are you doing in that position inside the ecosystem?
Yep. So, I mean, when you have a fund or syndications, there's some pretty important roles. I will be the CEO, so the final decision maker on a lot of those, but my strength is really in underwriting of deals. Mm-hmm. I'm not great at going out and networking and raising capital, so I will have capital raisers for that. I'm not going to be the guy that's going to be driving for dollars, so I'll have acquisitions guys for that. Property management and construction, I know, but there's guys that are much, guys and ladies, that are much better at those roles than me. But I am really, really good at the underwriting aspect of a deal. So that's what I like to do. So my ideal role is that I'm working from 9 to 4 p.m. In that underwriting CEO role. And I have other individuals that are working on the raising of capital, the investor relations, the management, the asset management, and the management of construction.
I think the reason I was asking that question is I think that like to give people a perspective of like what are all the functionalities of your business, you're eventually going to have, you got your brokerage sales, you got property management, you've got asset management, which has a lot to do with the financial position of like what that asset is and like is it being maximized and do you need to reposition it, sell it, whatever the hell that thing is. And then you've got suits up construction on something, and then there's just like rehab and whatnot. But I think it's infinitely, the reason I'm asking that question is as people think like, hey, if I'm just in sales today, what are the other roles that are going into my organization? You said it very clearly. It's like, hey, you're gonna have people that need to sell homes, you're gonna need people to find like projects or whatnot that might be off market, or they don't, you know, you go find, connect with people. And then you got people that are out there, you know, raising capital, which is a different skill set. Then you got the underwriting, then you have like organizational leadership of like people. So you're, as a CEO, you're still going to deal with the people stuff. I think everyone needs to see, like, you might just be selling today, but there's all these different roles inside of real estate that if you've got a real passion, get through the sales and acquisition of like leads, and you can eventually get to something different because of the opportunities inside of real estate, which I think is beautiful for you able to give people an exact example of how you've created something that didn't exist, but it was through an opportunity through real estate and so many different ventures.
Yep. And you just, you figure out what you're good at. And at first you really have to be good at everything and do and wear every hat. But then as your revenue increases, you're able to hire and leverage people that are better at it. And that's, since you and I have talked, I've actually hired a strategic growth manager who has now taken over property management and residential brokerage. So in residential brokerage, I'm still the team lead, but I am only selling a few houses here and there for clients that I've worked for in the past, but that is a completely hands-off business for me now. he's managing all the agents. He's doing all the trainings. He's running the team meetings. And same thing with property management. I have an operator full time in Avec Construction that's running that business, Alex York, who you've met before. So I'm finding the right people, and as I unlock revenue, I am not scared to spend it on people.
And for those of you listening, and I'm going to my final question to Cassie, because like Cassie's giving live examples of stuff. What you're seeing structurally is he created a vertically integrated, he brought up at the beginning, a vertically integrated. What you're seeing, like just smart for efficiencies, is that all of his businesses feed each other. So you can do sales, and you might be, you know, prospecting for, you know, listings or buyers, but they eventually say, hey, I've got a property needs management. Well, I can do that. Hey, my client that does a listing because Avec Construction's there. Hey, do you need pre-list construction? We can do that for you. Then if you're living in the property and you want to be able to use like a HELOC, what he's talking about, he's going to be able to connect to a HELOC lender to then say, we can also do the construction for you. So you're not, and then there's the trusted advisor role sits there so that when Cassidy positions as, I'm not just brokering your sales, I'm advising through the whole life cycle of home, that eventually at some point they're like, you did such a great job of my property. Why wouldn't I trust you with capital that would be redeployed into a bigger position, which then you didn't even get into the tax benefits of it and all that type of stuff. But like, what I think everyone needs to see is that there is an ability to just through his property management, construction business to feed the sales can feed the other side. So then you have a symbiotic relationship, which I don't think it's a lot of people see strategically, which could make your businesses really hum. And I think, and you're an example of doing that. So, you know, bravo. So with that being said, like, what's the tips? Like, if you were to give like everybody listening, okay, thanks. I love the story. I can relate to that. I know I can attain it because he comes from a similar, like you weren't given a golden spoon. Yep. Which is why I think you and I get along so well, is that like, go put the work in, go figure that, you know, the F out, you'll get the benefits. What are your three like tips? Like, you're like, hey, if you're just in sales right now, what are the three tips that you give somebody that eventually wants to get to where you're at to be successful?
So I think one, I mean, again, mine is all lessons learned from experiences. One thing I would say is until you make $1 million a year, you shouldn't try to vertically integrate anything. You need to be really good at what you're doing right now, because if you don't have that revenue, then you shouldn't be starting another business, because it's only going to take attention away from your current business, right? So that's, I learned that the hard way and have had to go back into other businesses whether it's brokerage, whether it's construction, whether it's property management, go back into them to now get work in the business again to help with the revenue. So first of all, it would be, have your one lever that you're really good at and pull that. Make more money at that. Continue to do that. Get more efficient at that. Make business practice systems and processes. And then number two would be, throughout the process, you need to be developing processes for what, while you're doing your job, whether if it's brokerage, and I'm, in most case, I'm guessing your audience is sales, you need to document everything that you do at all times. So eventually you can train somebody to replace that role that you are currently in. Because if you don't have those systems, you're going to have to go backwards and do that, right? So that's number two, is record, whether you're using Loom, whether you're using Google Docs to write it all down, using some different AI platforms, record everything in your current role. And then three would be, hire an executive assistant right now. Have somebody take away your email, take away your calendar. If you aren't able to pay and to afford to pay that, then you're going to have trouble with the other stuff. So that would be my three tips.
Everyone listening, like, it's very simple. Like, you got to get to a revenue stream where you actually have a viable business that can afford like the different levers that you're talking about. You know, get into documentation of your processes, because like, I agree with you. You're not the only person that's ever done this before, and it can be trained to somebody else. You're not God's gift to whatever that thing is, but it's got to get out of your head. Finally, get leverage.
Get rid of the dollar, the very, very low dollar per hour task that you can right now. And watch your ability to grow expand.
Well, I think that the key around that one too, that you've already done to just put the bow on it, is that, but you deployed your when you got time back, you didn't sit on the couch and like, you know, play video games. You basically went out into acquisition mode and figured out how to make more money. So the key is that, okay, you just got time back for the assistant, redeploy that in the dollar productive hours and not like something that you're just like, oh, now I feel lazy and I'm just going to, you know, take off and not do anything, like redeploy that time, which I think is brilliant. So, Cassidy, I just want to say thank you for your time today to go through like your journey, make it relatable to people that say like, hey, you can do this too. It's going to take you some time, some grit, some learning, some failures, and have the right network around you to figure those things out and get your feet wet, like put your feet in there. And then those of you listening, if you're in the DMV, it's Cassidy Burns with BPG. He's got AVEC Construction. So if you're looking for construction type of stuff, make sure you reach out to him on that one. If you need property management in the district, do you cover Maryland, Cassidy, or is it DC and Virginia?
Just DC and Virginia for property management. AVEC Construction, same thing. We don't do much in Maryland. We're pretty much DC and Virginia.
Okay, I get it. The People's Republic of Maryland, but we'll leave it at that one. But thanks, Cassidy, and those listening to AO. If you enjoyed the episode this week, give us a like, give us a follow, and then tune in next week for more great content on Entrepreneurial Impact. Look forward to seeing you, and have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we killed that one. So great job, man. I really wanted to highlight your stuff and really push your business and be able to give people like a light at the end of the tunnel while also hopefully getting you some traction with your own businesses. So all I need on this one is like, hey, it's me, Cassidy Burns, with your company. Looking forward to talking about multifamily investing and my journey in real estate on Entrepreneurial Impact. You don't have to say it just like that, but whatever's natural to you as far as an introduction.
Entrepreneurial Impact. All right, great.
Perfect. Yep. Hey guys, whenever you're ready.
Hey guys, Cassidy Burns with BPG Holdings, Residential Property Management and AVEC Construction. Looking forward to sharing you guys. Hey guys, Cassidy Burns with BPG Holdings, Property Management, Residential and AVEC Construction. I'm looking forward to sharing my journey of how I got into buying multifamily real estate and how we're syndicating and raising capital currently. By just starting in the brokerage industry. Listen here on Entrepreneurial Impact. Thanks again for tuning in.